Savior of the world was fallen, his body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the weight of every curse upon him. The ground began to shake, the soul was give myself away so you can use me. Give myself away. I give myself away.
Jesus, we worship you this morning. God, we thank you for everyone, Father, that got baptized today. Jesus, we thank you that you have such a divine plan for us. Lord, each one of us hold a special thing in your eye. Lord, we are the apple of your eye, the word says. And Lord, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that today as they were water baptized according to Romans chapter 6, and Father, their soul was being renewed, reupholstered. God, I thank you that, Lord, the engrafted word of God that saves our souls, Lord, is penetrated. Lord, they've been born again. They asked you to be their Savior. But Lord, today, those things from the past, those wounds in the emotions, those wounds of words that were spoken, Father, canceled in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, that the power of addiction has been broken in the name of Jesus. God, no power of addiction is stronger than Jesus Christ. God, we thank you that today, Lord, we get the amazing privilege of being in your presence. Lord, it sometimes we forget. We forget, Father, how blessed we are to be in your presence. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus that your anointing continues to sweep over this congregation. Lord, the only thing, Lord, that makes us different from the Moose Lodge or any of those other lodges is that your anointing and your word is being preached, that you're welcome in this place. So, God, we ask that you will saturate every facet of who we are. We don't ever want to become a club. Don't ever want to be a religion. God, we want to be sons and daughters in our Father's house. Lord, we just thank you that today we can be where you are. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. How many of you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Why don't you go find five or six folks that you don't know and shake their hand and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today. Come on, tell somebody they look marvelous today.
some things in life you just can't do alone. Like running a worship set. Getting a root canal. Getting stuck in traffic.
Seriously? Come on!
Starting a flash mob. Trust fall.
One, two.
Join a group today. Go to histabernacle.com/groups.
Would like to invite you to His Tabernacle's Easter production on April 1st. There's going to be a 9 a.m. service and an 11 a.m. service where there's going to be kids singing and there's going to be acting in a human video. Also, on March 31st, there's going to be a helicopter egg drop where you and your entire family can run out into the field and grab the eggs that are being dropped. What the heck? From 10 a.m. to noon, I'll see you there.
Awesome. Good morning, family. It's so good to be here today. Pastor Chad and I, we've missed you. We were so happy we got to do announcements today. We've been plowing the ground in Ithaca. God is doing big, big things. I love it. God's kingdom is growing and there's always room for more. And so we're so excited. And if you're a guest in this house, we just want to welcome you. Would you do me a favor? Would you raise your hand? Wave at me. We have a packet, a gift for you. We want to get to you. I don't think I see any hands. Not too sure. Maybe point at there's somebody. I don't see anyone. But if there is a guest, we want to welcome you. We have a guest reception right after service. You go through this door right here and you get to meet some of our pastoral team, so we just get to welcome you. And if you're watching via live stream, we love you. We are so happy that you are here with us today. It's going to be a great day in God's house. Just one quick announcement before I hand over to Pastor Chad. Monday is coming. Next week Monday, not this week Monday, next week is Empower Summit. It is going to be phenomenal. I want to encourage you to register. Not just that, but if you know somebody, and they don't even have to attend this church, but if you know somebody who is a leader or a pastor that need to get here, to be poured into, to be loved on, I want to encourage you to be brave and to invite them. Remember, the kingdom of God is all about family, all right? And so we're so excited. If you want to register, you can go right online and do it nice and easy.
And the real reason we're up here is because this Sunday, we have our Awaken Monthly. This Sunday, today, right at 6 p.m. If you're 18 to 30, will you wave at us real quick? We got a bunch of young people in the house. There we go. We want to see you guys here tonight. And listen, Facebook is blowing up, so we prepared food for 100 people. So make sure you show up at 6 because we're worried that we're going to run out of food. So we want to encourage you. 6 p.m., we have O Eternity, a local Christian band playing worship for us. We are just so excited for tonight. So make sure you invite a friend and childcare is provided. So we just love you guys so much. It's good to be home in the Horseheads campus. Now we're going to pass it off to Pastor Rhonda as she shares the morning tithe and offering.
Amen. I love this time of prosperity. You know, God desires that his children are blessed. Psalms 35:27, let the Lord be magnified, which takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. And how does he do it? According to his word. And his word tells us in Luke 6:38, give is all about getting the blessing into your life. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So this time is a time of prosperity, teaching you how to walk in the blessing of God. And his word says that the tithe is holy. The tithe means 10%. 10% of all of your increase is holy to the Lord. It is set aside for him. This is the time that we get to give our tithe. And in Malachi 3, it says, the windows of heaven will open up and he will pour out blessings upon us. And verse 11, I love it. It goes even further. It says he will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. Amen. How many of you want God to rebuke the devourer for you? Amen. And we do that in our time of tithes and offerings. So today, with Empower Conference coming up, we have a testimonial from one of our pastors locally in this vicinity anyways that want to encourage you in your seed today. So today, after we tithe, we're going to do it at the same time. And in this house, we bring our tithe and offering to the Lord. We're not going to shake you down. It's something you get to do with joy in your heart. So we bring our tithes and offerings forward. So today, while we do that, you're going to have the opportunity to also sow seed into really good ground. And I'm not going to talk about it. I'm going to let these pastors do it.
Hey, everybody. My name is Pastor Mike McGinnis. This is my wife, Donnelly.
We want to give a very big thank you to His Tabernacle for supporting in and believing in the visions of your pastors. Pastor Mike and Pastor Rhonda have sown into our lives, and we have never been the same. 3 years ago when we received that phone call and we came down for our first leadership summit, changed our lives.
Empowering Pastors Summit is a great, great ministry, great resource for pastors like myself and others around the area. Them being able to pour into us and invest in us so we can fulfill our destiny in being able to reach those in our own community and our own churches so that we can see souls saved and lives changed and renewed. So we are just want to say thank you very much, and we love your pastors. They're great people and great friends, and empowering pastors is a great investment. Thank you, His Tabernacle, for your investments.
Amen. That's some good ground that we get to sow into. So if you're ready to give this morning, Pastor has something to say first.
They were actually getting ready to leave the ministry. They were getting ready to resign their church. And because of your sowing, the very first year, I mean, it was $20,000 to do Empowering Pastors. It all came from you. We didn't get any registration that amounted to anything. Literally, that year, this house saved three churches their pastors. And this is one of them. They were one of them. Where they, because of what God did in their life that year, that first time they were here, they went back and they've been pastoring and growing the kingdom of God in Syracuse. And so I just personally want to say, we want to say thank you very much. We know that many times when vision costs money, everybody knows that, right? And many times people say, well, you know, Pastor, I don't really know. Listen, it changes lives. Their congregation is over 100. You're changing over 100 lives in Syracuse that are changing hundreds of lives. And so just know that when you sow, it's good ground. Amen? Thank you.
Are you ready to give this morning? Let's stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration, and this is the word of God that we are prophesying and speaking over our own lives. And it says, if you'll repeat it after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on, bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord this morning. If you're watching by a live stream, you can click on the giving button and give right along with us, or text to give.
Attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No better be a tech.
God is good. Amen. How many of you are glad that you love Jesus? You know, today is an exciting day. We're baptizing 38 people today. That is very exciting. You know, a lot of people, when they got baptized, they just got wet. But God didn't call you to get wet. He called you to get changed. Amen. So that's the exciting part about water baptism. It brings change to your soulish man, according to Romans chapter 6. Today, I'm going to be preaching the last message on the divine connection with the church. We're going to do something a little bit different today, and if you are a guest, I know it's going to be maybe a little bit uncomfortable, but you'll be fine. Turn to somebody and say, you're going to be all right. Tell somebody else, you're going to be okay. It really is not that bad. Just different. It's going to be a little bit different today. It's going to be almost a little bit like the when we did the yarn thing, how a little bit different. Something I've never done in 30 years of ministry. But I believe that we need to get this down in our spirit. One of my concerns in preaching the word, let me tell you one of the concerns in preaching the word of God, is that people hear it with their ear gate, but it doesn't get into their spirit. One of the most difficult things about pastoring is preaching it, and you know it's truth. You know it's life transforming. You know it literally will shift the entire direction, and God will bless them in a greater dimension. But yet they never take it because they hear it in their ear gate, and they flush it within minutes. And I want you to know today that as your pastor, sometimes people have said to me, you know, you seem to repeat yourself. Well, thank you. That was the plan. I'm a very intelligent man. One of the things about my intelligence, I want you to learn. And I don't want to just preach a message. If I'm going to just preach a message, I'm going to preach 15 minutes. We're going to go home. I'm here to train you, equip you for the work of the ministry, bring you to unity, and bring you to maturity. And I know I can do that if you'll listen and allow the word to apply to your spirit. You know, even myself, I preach a whole series. How many of you are here for the year of the kingdom? What a phenomenal year. You know, but I've been going back and re-listening to all of those messages and looking over all of those notes again because it's so easy to forget what it is. Seek ye first the and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But if you don't know what the kingdom is, then how can you seek it? So even myself, I'm continuing to go back and remind myself what it means to live in a kingdom mentality. We live in a democracy, but God does not live in a democracy. God lives in a theocracy. God lives where he is supreme king, and we don't have the right to debate our God. Can I hear an amen or oh my? A lot of people think that their opinion matters. It wouldn't matter if you were going to the voting booth. Well, God, I don't think this should be a sin. But God doesn't live that way. God is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha and Omega. There is none like him, none besides him. You see, with God, there is no debate. His word is yea and amen. And in that, there's a necessity to make sure that we, as the children of God, we remind ourselves continually so we live according to his plan. This is the year of, oh, come on, you can do better than that. This is the year of divine connections. Our greatest connection is with God himself. The second type of connection, divine, that we saw is how God has put people in our pathway, and he's brought us to where we are today. You know what's amazing is no one got saved on their own. It's very rare that somebody ever gives their heart to Jesus all by themselves. No one ever spoke to them. Just boom, divine revelation. I'm not saying it hasn't happened, but it's rare. Everybody in this room probably had somebody share the gospel, had someone live the gospel, had someone portray the gospel, whether your mother, your father, your brother, your uncle, your aunt. Maybe you just kind of flipped on the tube and maybe watched 700 Club or something. God touched you with a divine connection to bring you where you are. And then the next divine connection is that called community. Shout, I love the community. You see, we right now are a congregation, but God wants to take you from being congregational into community. There is a difference between living in a congregation and living in a community, and it's all about relationships. One of the things that I love so much about my father is that everything about him is about relationships. Everything about him is about knowing him, about living in him, about walking in him, and about having that intimacy that Adam and Eve lost, that God, through Jesus, brought back to us. Can I hear an amen? So today, this is all about relationship. Our verse for the year is found in Mark chapter 16, verse 20. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. Turn to someone and say, God wants to work with you. Tell somebody else, God wants to use your life. And confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. You see, today the need for this is imperative. How many of you know that Jesus is coming soon? And that's the truth. Jesus is coming very soon. They've talked about it for years and decades and centuries and not millennials. They've talked about it for a long time. But here we are. Jesus is coming soon. Look at the signs in the time. You can't be ignorant, and you know that Christ could crack the eastern sky any time with the trumpet of God shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the air. And if you don't know what the rapture is, then shout, I need to join. Step one. Tell somebody you need to join Rock Solid Faith. That's the truth. You need to join because you need to know what you believe. Turn to someone and say, ignorance is not bliss. That is true. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 and 20 through 22 says this. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, I love that, the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit.
I want to remind you that God never came to build a religion, that God never came to build a denomination. You know, we have a lot of them on this planet. You know, you can go to the Catholic Church, you can go to the Presbyterian Church, you can go to the Pentecostal Church, the non-denominational church, the Baptist Church. We got all these different churches, and what's amazing is there are none of those in heaven. Well, I'm going to the Catholic section of heaven. Well, I'm going to the Pentecostal. I'm going to the His Tabernacle side of heaven. There is no, listen, there's only one place. Can I hear an amen? It's for those that are called citizens of the kingdom of God, the sons and daughters of the Most High, those that He has brought out of darkness and into His marvelous light. What I love about God is that He's all about family. He's all about community. He's all about building relationships. And what's happened again in these last days especially is people have veered from this. Why have they veered? Well, I believe that the devil, through a diabolical plot that is very sinister, has slowly and brought a derision between the people of God and the world. Now, this is very important. God has never called us to be like the world. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, says the Lord. But at the same time, God has not called us to get away from the world. Now, the Church of Thessalonica, which is very interesting when you study it, they were people that they were so excited about the coming of the Lord that they sold everything and they went and lived in caves. And God said to them, occupy till I come. He said, get out of the caves, for goodness sakes. He's not called us to separate ourselves, but to infiltrate. For we are not of this world. We are not people that should be looking like the world, but we are the people that draw them out of darkness and into the presence of the Lord. You see, we have the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. But what's happened in the body of Christ is the body is not connected. Because the body of Christ is not connected, we don't move as one because we're so individualistic, because we are people that don't want to communicate, don't want to connect with individuals because, listen, I like my life, leave me alone. What's happened is this, is that we no longer connect to where we move as one, and God is saying, listen, I've made something called the divine connection. It's not your church, it's my church. It's my kingdom come, my will be done. And the way it happens is when the church moves as one. So there's a need for the body of Christ to get back to understanding what this whole thing is about. Well, I didn't go to church today. That's nothing to do with going to church today. I shared a few weeks ago where, listen, if Mama Bear's making supper and you don't show up to supper, what's going to happen? Well, she's going to wonder where you were, number one. You wonder why Pastor Dan and his team calls you. You know what's really funny? People get mad at Pastor Dan for calling. Why are you calling? Well, you're not in the church. Well, why are you calling? It's my business. I'll come when I want. Oh, you, listen, those are nice things. He's had a lot worse said to him. But what it shows is that there's a true misunderstanding of the plan of God in the divine connection called the body of Christ. This is not about going to church. This is about connecting to a family. Well, I've got my own family. Listen, you've got a family that's big that you got to hang with for the rest of eternity. You better get to know somebody. Can I hear an amen? This has always been God's plan, that we're not strangers, we're not aliens. We are citizens, we are members of God's household. You see, the word is very clear, and God's passion has always been the same, and that is to create community. Listen now, Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, a lot of people, in fact, there's a denomination out there, a religion out there, that teaches that sex was the first sin. And I want you to know that that's not the first sin at all. In fact, the Lord, when He created the Garden of Eden, this is what He said. I want you to repopulate the earth, which means they were going to be intimate, which means she was going to have babies. Now, ladies, don't get mad at her. It was during the curse that she was cursed with the pain of childbearing. Can you imagine? She was not supposed to have pain of childbearing. Aren't you glad you were freed from the curse of the law, Galatians? Amen. So here we are, man. It's time to recognize that as believers, very, very, very beginning of history that we have in the Bible with Adam and Eve, it was always about creating relationship. It was about creating community. Can you imagine if Adam and Eve had never sinned and the garden would have been packed. The garden would have had to increase. The garden would have grown to hold the capacity of people where there was no sin. It would have been called the family of God. He would have come down and walked with them and talked with them, all of them, in the cool of the day. It would have been all so powerfully relational. Can I hear an amen? God has always tried to create community. How about with the children of Israel? Do you remember that the children of Israel, they got freed from Egypt, and God created a tabernacle. The tabernacle is where his presence was. In fact, there's a portion of the tabernacle called the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says that there was a Shekinah glory. Everybody say Shekinah. Shekinah glory. What that was there was a beam of God's glory, a beam of God's pure light that showed from heaven straight down through the roof of the Holy of Holies in that tabernacle. I mean, it was breathtaking. Listen, the presence of God was so powerful in the Holy of Holies that if anybody, listen, the high priest was allowed to go in there once a year. And if he went in there and there was any sin in his life, what they used to do is dress him in his priestly garments, and they would put bells around the bottom of his priestly garment. And then they would tie a rope around his leg. How encouraging. Because the presence of the Lord was so pure in the Holy of Holies, if the bells stopped ringing, it meant there was sin in that guy's life, and he dropped dead. And so they would drag him out by that rope. And then they'd dress up the next priest and say, it's your turn, Jesus. Jesus, help us all. It's important to recognize that God is holy. Can I hear an amen? But in his holiness and in his passion, it's always about family. It's been about creating a community of people that were his children. That was the plan of God would come through his family. Can I hear an amen? You know, it's amazing. We hear about legacies even upon the planet, about a legacy of different families, the Roosevelt families, and we can go through all the lists of the mega families, and the money flowed all the way down through all of them, all the way down today, the Heinz factory. You know, what's amazing is even today, wealth is still being passed from the very beginning. It's all because of legacy, and God came to create a family that would have a legacy on this planet, that we would do the works and the will of God, that we could draw those people out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we can snatch them from Lucifer's lair and bring them into the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's get back to the children of Israel. So God created the tabernacle, and then he told them, he said, you are a great congregation. But then he told Moses, he said, listen, I want you to break them into 12 sections, the 12 tribes. And I want them to surround the tabernacle. You see, the congregation was the whole, but the communities were the 12. And what was amazing is that as communities coagulate together, they make a congregation that move as one. And listen now, we know in the scripture that anytime a whole group of people touch one thing at one time, there's nothing that they cannot do. Can I hear an amen? The enemy is striving to keep you out of the community, the congregation, the body of Christ, so that you will not be part of synergy that will destroy the weapons of the devil, that the souls can be saved, and that in these last days we can have the greatest harvest we've ever had before. You see, this is why you're here. This is still the plan of God. It's all about community. Jesus was community focused. He had 12 of his closest friends. But man, it wasn't just 12 friends. We know that he had 70 that were close to him because he sent them out in the book of Matthew chapter 10. We know there were actually more than that. How do we know that? Because the Bible actually said that when they were replacing Judas, that one of the criteria was that person had to be with Christ from the very beginning, and they weren't one of the disciples. So we know that there was a great congregation of people, but Jesus was constantly building a community of people in relationships. You see, relationships are what give you strength. Relationships are what build you up when they're godly. Some of you have relationships that you need to get rid of. Now, I didn't say your husband or your wife. Listen, the pastor told me to divorce you. No, that's not what I said at all.
But it's all about community. How about the New Testament? You see, this is they're very powerful, found in the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. The verse we've used when we first started with this, the divine connection being the church. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. The word there is koinonia, which is relationship, and sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to pray. A deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and their possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with the great joy and generosity. All the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. Each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. So I want you to see this. There was a divine congregation. But what God was doing here in the book of Acts was not just the congregation where they met together and they worshiped and they prayed, but then they would go to homes. That's called community. You see, there's a need to have relationships beyond just coming in on a Sunday morning and waving at a few people and leaving or escaping, however else you want to say it. Well, you know, I don't want anybody to see me. Well, I'm sorry. You're supposed to be seen. Well, I don't want to be seen. I like being by myself. Listen, that means you have wounds in your heart. If you just want to be by yourself, God has never created you to be by yourself. God created you to live in community. Some are more reserved than other people, but the fact is that community is absolutely everything and has always been the plan of heaven. Here's the last spot we see it actually in the scripture. What happens in heaven? When we go to heaven, we are in the community or the congregation of heaven. You see, God, all the way from the beginning with Adam and Eve to where that all of history ends, it's all about community. It's all about relationship. It's all about not being alone. It's all about strengthening each other. It's all about encouraging each other. It's all about strengthening and being there. When someone's mourning, we mourn together. When someone's rejoicing, we rejoice together. When someone needs help, we strengthen them. We get in there and help them and do whatever's necessary. It's called the community. It's called the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if you smash your finger with a hammer, I don't think that you sit there and say, boy, I wish you felt better. You did something to make your finger feel better. The rest of the body had to take action to help your finger. And this is the plan of God. We all need to work together to see God's plan come together. Can I hear an amen? You see, the enemy loves, he loves to see the church not be a community. He loves that because he knows that if we're not a community, then we're not dangerous. He doesn't care about churches that aren't dangerous. Do you know the devil doesn't even go to every church? There's no need to. They're not dangerous. God doesn't go to every church, and neither does the devil. Just because a church has the name church over the top doesn't mean anything. It has no meaning at all. Now what you're seeing is community. This is the men's ministry. One of the gentlemen came up to the altar during the sermon, and now we have two of the men that are part of the men's ministry. They have a powerful community on Wednesday nights. They're around him praying at the altar. Well, Pastor, doesn't that bother you? No. We didn't plan this. This is happening. This is what we're preaching about right here. When it's time to recognize that it's not about you, baby. It's about helping other people grow and mature and grow to the greatest capacity that they have. Can I hear an amen? The enemy loves to destroy this. He does it through gossip and backbiting. Y'all know that gossip's not allowed here, right? Turn to someone and say, gossip is not allowed. Listen, the first time you gossip, we're going to love you and gracefully just say, listen, now we don't allow that at His Tabernacle Family Church. The second time we catch you gossiping, we're going to say, we love you, we're not going to be as nice, and we're going to be stronger with you. We're going to correct you. The Bible says, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. I'm going to rebuke you. I'm going to reprove you. Why? Because I'm trying to save your life, because backbiting is just as bad of a sin as anything else.
And then the third time we catch you gossiping, we're just going to encourage you to go to church down the road that we know allows it. And we have done it multiple times. I don't have a problem asking somebody not to come back here. Why? Because it's not who you allow to come. Excuse me, it's not who you have come, it's who you allow to stay. Y'all know when you get a virus in the house, you got to get that out of the body. Can I hear an amen? When a cancer comes in, you got to get the cancer out. And if someone doesn't want to get healed, then the cancer's got to go. Amen? I said amen. And the devil works hard to destroy the community. If he can bring and break and divide. Listen, there was a church in Texas that was buying new hymnals. And it was a good-sized congregation, and half the church wanted red, which represented the blood of Jesus. And the other half wanted blue, which represented the loyalty. And so they couldn't come to a decision. So you know what it did? They split in the church. The ones that wanted the red started their own church. The ones that wanted the blue stayed in that church. The devil got to destroy a community over a red or a blue hymnal. There was another church that was destroyed in Texas. We love Texas. Is anybody in Texas in the house? I heard nothing, so that's all right. Let's move on. Got a whole mess of Texans over there. There was this church that was drawing a mural of Adam and Eve. And the debate was, did Adam and Eve have a belly button? Now, you see, this is important when it goes on the painting. It's a big mural. And they couldn't, one half of them believe that they had a belly button. The other half said, no, God created them. They couldn't have had a belly button. And it split the church because one half believed they had a belly button and one half didn't believe they had a belly button. You see how the devil is so wise. Everybody in his own mind thinks he's right. But there comes a place in our life when you recognize that if you continue to backbite, you will devour one another. You devour yourself. You know, a husband and wife that are arguing, it's really fun. Every once in a while, you know, you'll say, you know, if a husband and wife had a big fight, who won? Well, listen, if you're a husband and wife, who won? Nobody. You're the same. The two shall become one flesh. If you beat your wife in an argument, did you win? No, you lost. You really lost. The devil works desperately to destroy relationships. He doesn't want you to be coagulated. That means what happens is when you become a community, when you start to struggle in your faith, you want to know what most people do? Let me tell you what they do. First person they cut out of their life when they're struggling in their faith is the pastor. They stop talking to me. They leave Pastor Dan. They won't answer Pastor Dan's phone calls anymore. I know. Do they hang up? They do hang up. Be nice to Pastor Dan. Nice. He's sensitive. Listen, the first thing they cut out is the pastors because they don't want anybody speaking into their life. They don't want to change. They want to be alone. Then the next people they cut off, they start coming to church. Then they go back to what was comfortable. What's amazing to me is this. You left the world, you left alcoholism, you left the drugs, you left all of the sin because you recognize that Jesus had something greater, but yet when you get cut off or when you cut yourself off, you end up going back to the same. Makes sense to that. There's nothing back there. Can I hear an amen? This is why when you're part of the body of Christ, when somebody's struggling, don't struggle alone. There's somebody that wants to help you. There's somebody that wants to encourage you. There's somebody that wants to kick you. If we got to kick you, we kick you. If we got to drag you, we drag you. We got to do whatever we got to do because we love you. You see, if you don't love somebody, you leave them behind. But what was taught was you leave no man behind. Can I hear an amen? And it's not just in war, but yet we are fighting a warfare. It's time to recognize we need the community called the body of Christ. We need each other. And segregation, that is so demonic. It is so demonic. And I'm going to speak to our area. Our area is still segregated. There are white churches. There are black churches. There are Latino churches. We've got Asian church. We have churches all that are segregated in themselves. I want you to recognize that has never been the plan of God. And in this house, we'll always speak against it because I believe that the face of heaven has to be in every single church. There should not be a church of just one type of individual. We are all the same. We are all the body of Christ, yet our differences do not bring weakness. They bring strength. Can I hear an amen? You see, the enemy just loves to destroy community because that means that you are helpless individually and corporately. You know, I just got to brag on this church. In most churches, 10% of the people do 90% of the work. That is not even close to the way it is here. We have a large group of people that are working in the kingdom. At least one-third of the body of Christ here are working in the kingdom of God. Everybody in this room, turn to someone and say, God's got a plan for you. Tell somebody else, God's got a purpose for you. And it's not to sit your hiney on the chair. Amen. Jesus did not come to sit and to save. He came to seek and to save. I'm glad we got nice, comfortable chairs for you. Glory to God. Aren't they beautiful, cushy? Glory. But it's not for you to be comfortable. It's for you to tolerate three-hour sermons. Glory to God. One of these days, I am going to do it, you know. I'm preaching short today. Yeah, no, I'm done. You see, there are people that walk into church, and this is what they feel, us and them. You ever felt that before? You go to a church, us and them. Oh, boy. Now, I told you, I went to one of those churches just 2 weeks ago. It was a Sunday night. I went to a church in Pennsylvania. There was 38 people in the room. Listen now, I'm not being disrespectful, but they were all Q-tips. Which means they had the same color hair as my wife before she dyed it. Glory to Jesus. I feel community coming on. Save me, save me, save me. Did you hear that? They cast me out of the community. You're on your own. But literally, in 10 years, that church would be closed. When I walked in, they all went like this. And I came in 5 minutes late, so I went in like this. A man came over and placed a bulletin in my hands. And I looked at the pastor, and this is what he looked like. I'm not even exaggerating. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And I said, dear Jesus. And I actually had to, I'm sorry, 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 Lord. I had to record it and send it to my family. It was so bad. I did too. I recorded it. I still got it. It was just horrible. And what was amazing was, halfway through a sermon, I said, you are wasting your time. One of the worst things that could ever happen is somebody comes into the community of heaven and they actually think they're wasting their time. We've got to make a decision that no one should ever leave this place until they know they're loved. The greatest of these is, well, I got up in a bad mood. Fix yourself. Well, I got up on the wrong side of the bed. For a believer, there's not a wrong side of the bed. You got the Holy Ghost dwelling inside of you. The joy of the Lord resides within you. There's nothing you can't do. Well, my wife and I got in a fight on the way to church. Then stop talking. Take different cars. I had to for years. But you see, when you come to the body of Christ, this is where we really can make a difference in somebody else's life. Turn to someone and say, you are important. Tell somebody else, you are important. Tell somebody else, you're my brother or sister. You got to fix that one. I don't know which one's on your side. Listen, if you're looking at your spouse, I mean, that doesn't count. You know what I mean? This is what we want to do for the next few minutes. We've never done this before. We've been talking about groups. Amazingly, less than 10% of the church has joined a group, which means I'll take full responsibility. We haven't really created a really good community, just a congregation. Now, we're making changes. Can you imagine what can happen in our region if we actually become a community? Imagine how much we can kick the devil's butt if we become a community and not just a congregation. So this is what we want to do. If you are from Chemung County, I'm going to ask you to stand up. We have one of our Chemung representatives right over here. Brother Ken, how are you? Thank you for being here this morning. Ken Miller. Now listen, I knew this was going to be the larger group. Who here is from Schuyler County? What's that? You're Chemung County, honey. All right. Are you ready? I need a groups magazine, please. This is what we need to do. If you're from Chemung County, I want you to go to the back area back there, all Chemung County. Go to the back area back there. Now, if you're part of Schuyler County, I want you to come right up here. If you're part of Steuben County, I want you to come right on over here. Steuben County, right on. Go swimming. No, you're not alone. No, you're not. You're Tioga, right? You're Bradford. If you're part of Bradford County, I want you to go right over there to the fire alarm system because you're going to need it. You're Tioga? Tioga County, right behind the TV camera. What's that? Broome County. Wow. Join Tioga. Bradford County. We already found those. Or Bradford. You could join either Bradford. Wow, you guys come all the way from Binghamton. We love you. Look at all the folks over there. Young lady, where are you from? Wow. Go find your family. Tell them, hey, you got to adopt me today. If you're from Tompkins County, you should go to Ithaca. No, I'm just kidding. Dude, he's an awesome man of God, him and his beautiful bride. She drives school buses. If you're from Tompkins County, who do you want to join? Schuyler County, because you're close. Right here. No, wait a minute. Where's Schuyler? Where's Schuyler County? Yeah, over here. Very good. Awesome. Wow. Where are you guys from? Tioga County, Pennsylvania. You need to be in right in back of the TV camera. Where are you from, love? Bradford? Yeah? Who's just lost? Brother Walter comes all the way from Rochester. Dear God. Brother Walter, come up here with me. You can be on my side. Amen. Now, that's what I want you to do. For the next minute and a half, I want you to meet five people you don't know. Five.
I love you, man. You're such a blessing. I want you to do is I want you to pop. Ithaca, Tompkins County.
Come on, don't be a snob. Five people. Five people you do not know. Everyone always goes to everybody they know. Thirty seconds. Did everybody meet at least five people from your own county? 15 seconds. All right, now there are group leaders that are in your congregation, that are in your community. Someone's going to give you a card welcoming you to their group. We're going to sing together. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. No, we're not going to sing that. Honey, where are you from? Where? Down PA. What's the name of the county? What's that? Like, you're from Lycoming? Then you got to come up here with me. You and Walter. Did everybody meet somebody? Now make your way back to your chair. Did anybody get to say hi to somebody? Did you meet anybody who had halitosis? Don't say it out loud. Look at all the people being friendly. I like that. You know, there's nothing worse than going to a stuffy old church where no one likes anybody. If you're watching on live stream, this is why we'd like you to be here. If you're too far away, we know that there are folks all the way from Arizona that watch every week, and you're from all over the United States, sometimes all over the world, and you can't be here. We just love you. We want you to know you're our family. But if you can be close, this is what we want to do. We want you to get to know people that are sweet, that are nice. Some people aren't sweet and nice, but we can help them. Come on, everybody, back to your seats. Stop being nice to each other. Get to your seats. Isn't it great to know you're not alone? I just really want to encourage you as your pastor. I'm sick and tired of seeing the devil take people out. I'm sick and tired of seeing the enemy come in, and when somebody's all alone, just whoops them, destroys them, and carries them away, brings them back to the world. I want to see us all get tight. Can I hear an amen? I want us all to be community, not just a congregation. I want us to get to know each other and encourage each other. Be just like this, where a man comes to the altar and his brothers come around him. This is the way it should be. This is what the body of Christ is all about. We are not alone. We are the brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? You know, and I know in this congregation what's really cool is there are so many from different backgrounds. Do you realize that this is why God has you here? Some of you, you can help somebody else with a vision. Some of you, you've gone through pain, and you can help somebody through their pain. Some of you, you're just always smiley. Man, that's all you do is smile. Man, there's nothing that gets you down. There's nothing that's just, you're always just a smiling. Everybody stares at you. Why are they still smiling? I don't know. But they're smiling all. Every one of us are so different. We need each other. Turn to someone and say, I need you. Amen. And that is the truth. We need each other. And I want to encourage you today to join a group. If you didn't have anybody or someone didn't give you a card or somebody gave you a card and you looked at them and said, I don't think so. That's okay. We got to love everybody but not like everybody. You know, you can go online. Go on our website, histabernacle.com. Go down to groups. You can choose a group to join, whether it's age-related or whether it's community-related and where you're from or whether it's, you know, activity-related. We have the Bikers Ministry. Stand right up there, Brad. Stand up and wave at everybody. Does he look like a biker or what? One of our bikers, Jimmy, just is driving down to Daytona. He drove his motorcycle. That's a dedicated man. I'd like you to bow your head with me this morning. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that's the very first community for you to join.
That is to have him wash your sins away. Know him, man. There's nothing better than knowing Jesus. There's nothing better than having your sins washed away. There's nothing better than knowing that you have a divine connection with the Creator and his plan will come into your life. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you'd like him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. I want my sins washed away. I want to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I die today, I'm going to be in heaven. I see that hand back there. Thank you very much. You can put it right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? I'm not going to wait real long. Is there anyone else this morning? Amen. Let's stand together. Father, I thank you for this great people called His Tabernacle. Lord, it's not just, Lord, that it's a name. It's your tabernacle. Lord, that's why it was named that. This is about you. Lord, we're your children. This is your plan. We thank you for the privilege of being part of your family, Father. We thank you that you have a divine connection with us. Lord, that you love us. You truly, genuinely love us and are concerned about us in every facet of our life. We thank you, Father, that you have placed people in our lives, even in this church, that, Lord, have spoken and said and done things that have literally transitioned us from death to life. Encouraged us. Lord, we pray for those, Lord, who are going to be coming. Lord, when they walk in these doors, when they hit the top of that driveway, the presence of the Holy Spirit will be so strong. The presence of the love when they meet the first person in the parking lot. The presence, oh God, in the foyer. Even though it's cold in temperature, it'll be hot, oh God, in relationships. Father, when we come to this house, your house, the household of faith, people will know that they are genuinely loved and cared about. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for it's a great day. And we'll serve you all the days of our life. And everybody said, amen. We love you. The young person that raised their hand or that individual that raised their hand, if you'll be brave when we dismiss, if you'll make your way up to the front, meet me right here. Grab the person next to you, drag them with you. We love you. Have a great day. Serve Jesus with all your heart. Have an awesome week for the Lord. Make sure you bring somebody next week to the household of faith.